Hi, this is Donna with Moderation Management, or MM, and tonight we are going to interview Kurt S., who has been with Moderation Management for over 20 years. Kurt, can you tell us how you found MM?
I had been struggling with issues with alcohol for years, I mean, ingrained habits, and I was dating a woman who was interested in making things more than just a casual relationship. We're talking about marriage, but it was impossible. My drinking habit was causing a lot of problems. So she tried to cure me, and she first encouraged me to go to Alcoholic Anonymous, and that didn't really work out so well. I didn't feel very comfortable at the meetings. I didn't think it was appropriate for me. And then she kept looking online. This is back in the early days of the internet, but yes, there was online in searches, and she found Moderation Management and that there were meetings in the New York area. So she encouraged me to go. So I went down to 72nd Street to this dance studio on West 72nd Street, started going to MM meetings. And I didn't quite know, you know, at first I was, you know, I had all the introductory experiences. I didn't know if I would quite fit in. I wasn't sure what the group was all about. I didn't know if anybody could really drink as little as these people said that they were drinking in the group, because the guidelines and limits just seemed impossibly low. And the whole thing seemed rather odd, but they were very straightforward. They wanted me to count drinks, and they talked about taking 30 days off from drinking as doing a 30, which I certainly wasn't ready for, and going to meetings regularly. So I started going every week, and it took me 9 months of going to meetings, doing a 30, basically working the program before I finally internalized the fact that the guidelines and limits were not for some other person, that they were for me, and that I should try to live by them and make them my own. And that was the kind of epiphany which really, it's not the end, but in many ways it was the beginning of my life as a moderate drinker, because that gave me the essential tool to become a moderate drinker, having a good target to shoot for, and then spending what probably will be the rest of my life ferreting out triggers and adjusting my own realities to my desire to drink.
Do you remember what year that was?
I started going in 1997 and got married in 1998. And alcohol was not a major factor in our relationship at that point, which was a real blessing.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, not too much longer after that, there was a tragic event in MM's history. Audrey Kishline, the founder of Moderation Management, struggled with drinking, and after she left MM, she sought help from other groups, but she ended up causing a fatal drunk driving crash and eventually committed suicide. So this was obviously a very difficult time. Do you remember that time?
Oh, I remember every moment, every second. It was extremely dramatic. I mean, I was attending meetings regularly at that time, and to be honest, I was thinking that I had kind of gotten a good handle on this moderation thing, and I could possibly consider attending meetings less often or even stepping back and not going to meetings anymore. But I was forced to confront the reality that Moderation Management was on the verge of falling apart. I was watching it fall apart. As all these people rushed in to try to defend it, the media, night after night after night, was just attacking the organization unmercifully. it was wonderful publicity, but the organization was in no shape to take any kind of advantage of it. And it just appeared that moderation management was just going to dive, just fold up and fade away. And, you know, maybe it would be another generation before someone would try again. I just thought that that was a tragedy, another tragedy on top of the one that had already occurred. And I had some skills. I was a nonprofit IT manager from my day job, and I knew how to run a nonprofit. So when some of the people from the local New York meeting got angry and decided that they were going to try to make this moderation management thing work, even against all these attacks in the media, I started going to meetings and hanging out and discussing what we were going to do and help to put it back together again.
And so was that when, like, the website kind of in the listserv started, or had that already an Abstar?
The listserv was around almost from day one. As long as there's been moderation management, there's been a moderation management main list listserv. The Abstar didn't exist yet, and the website was relatively crude, but it had some of the same content that is on there now. We added a whole lot of content later on.
Abstar is the online tracking tool for, it's kind of like a spreadsheet where people enter, like, how many drinks they had on each day, and over time they can track how well or how they're doing, how much they're drinking over time.
Yes. Abstar was one of my early projects with moderation management, actually, and one of the most successful to this day. It continues to work. The shortcut to Abstar is actually abstar.org, which puts you onto the moderation management website at moderation.org/Abstar. But the Abstar program started life as a spreadsheet that was basically passed around a bunch of admins, and people would send emails to these admins with their Abstar accounts, and the admins would update the spreadsheet and distribute it again, so that it had the updated information in it. And it was all very low tech. And we thought it was a great concept, this idea of a listing where you could see everyone's drink counts. But the spreadsheet mechanism was so incredibly labor-intensive and arcane that it was impractical. So as a web page, it was fairly easy to imagine. We had some events coming up. It was toward the end of the summer. I wanted to get Abstar ready. I had a two-week span, and I just cranked on it. I was working for myself, and I put aside a lot of my client projects, and I just went hammer and tongs on Abstar and turned it into the website, which it is now. A lot of it involved making decisions on how the program would work, which I did in consultation with the crop of Abstar admins, which included P.K. Zippo, who, even though he wasn't the father of Abstar, he was its greatest advocate. And it was planning with him that went into a lot of the current Abstar. And then we added the concept of private Abstar, and people come into Abstar with their row being private as a default.
Yeah, some people really benefit from the public accountability, but then others, you know, it causes them anxiety and, you know, it kind of keeps them from using it. So it's different strokes for different folks, and, you know, people can choose whichever kind they want. And that is one of the most popular tools, I think, in MM. Tracking is one of the best things that you can do just to get your drinking under control.
Your drink counting is powerful, and Abstar, especially with the public option, is an effective tool for change. It helps encourage people to see where they've been so that they know where they're going.
Right, and that can also be a positive thing. Like, sometimes you can feel really bad about yourself because you're not where you want to be with your drinking. But then if you go back, and if you've been with MM for a while, you can go back, look a year ago, and see that, hey, actually, you've made a lot of improvement. It's just you're not quite to where you want to be yet. but compare it to where you've been, and that can be an encouraging way to look at it.
And you can also have a public row so that this all plays out with other people watching, which it just seems like, how is that going to affect people? But it actually does. It changes their behavior.
Kirk, can you remember a moment? I'm sure you've had several good times with MM. What was one of your favorite moments with MM? We just talked about the Abstar. Favorite moment, favorite people, anything that stands out in your mind is like being one of the best things that keeps you contributing all these two decades you've been helping to keep MM functioning and bringing MM to the world. I know that's one thing that both you and I share, is just a feeling that this can help so many more people. It does get hard to, year after year, keep working, because it is work. What are the rewarding moments and rewarding people that help it make it worthwhile?
Well, I have many fond thoughts and memories of my time working with Anna Kosak. Anna was one of the first people I met when I was going to the New York City meetings. So she was with me right through my recovery. And then when moderation management fell apart, she was one of the people who picked it up and kept it going. All the time dealing with her own struggles, her own issues, always making time for MM, very thoughtful, very caring. And Anna was the executive director of Moderation Management for over 10 years. I mean, it was an amazing run. She really kept it together. I also have fond memories of James Cannon. There aren't a lot of people around who remember Cannon, but he was MM's own wild, brash-talking Irishman. And he also was one of the people who got MM straightened out on its feet. He made the contacts with the Harm Reduction Coalition that got us some office space and all the things that he thought were important. And he really did a lot to make MM into the nonprofit which he thought that it should be. Unfortunately, Cannon wasn't necessarily the best person for moderation management. He had personal issues, which he was the first person to talk about. And moderation management was not necessarily the best organization for him. He later left MM and then had a successful recovery with other groups and then passed away, unfortunately, unexpectedly, from the heart attack he always feared. You know, we said a proper goodbye. We miss him. A lot of fond memories there.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that we miss, passed on over the years.
My satisfaction with moderation management is not in the past. It's very current. It's every single person who confused and upset and finally making the decision to try to come to terms with the issues with their drinking, coming to us for help, and then us having options for them, us having ways in which they can get support and feel like their life is not over, that this is something which they can do to put things together and make the rest of their life a good experience for them and for their families. That gives me tremendous satisfaction, and that happens every single day. It's not like I'm living on some reservoir of borrowed time. It's like this is the mission which I've chosen, and there are a lot of satisfactions there.
I agree. Sometimes you get sort of the reaction or facial expression in a face-to-face meeting, even where, you know, you get the sense that they're thinking, hey, this could actually work, you know, like it's too good to be true or whatever. And of course, it takes time, and not everybody that tries moderation succeeds, but I think most that try it for any length of time, they do at least come to a better understanding of their problem and that maybe they need to abstain or just adjust rules or whatever. They learn something. So where do you think MM is headed, Kurt? What do you see in the crystal ball?
I try to keep my ambitions for MM separate from the realities. The immediate reality is that I'm hoping to get through what amounts to another rebuilding year. to get the website straightened out. There are issues with the website, some are technical, which we've made elaborate plans to fix, and I'll be working on that for quite a while. And then to get through, of all things, our dryuary experience, our dry January program, to work on that through the fall to make sure that it's in good shape and is able to be the success which we hope it can be. In the future, I would like to see the website and our electronic services be expanded to the point where we can start to pursue vertical markets, start to target population groups which we haven't normally approached, and then be able to have an offering for each of them. And that is the future of MM. I see as a personalized moderation experience for every person who comes to Moderation Management for help. And then we can also personalize this for different groups and vertical markets so that they can have their own unique experience. So Moderation Management for veterans, Moderation Management for colleges and other institutions, Moderation Management for corporations dealing with HR issues, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of opportunities for growth there and a lot of opportunities for the organization to succeed. We just need to survive long enough to get to the place where we can implement these visions for success.
There's so much we can do. You know, I think there is help out there, and we're going to reach for it. Well, I really hope we get there because, Kurt, if anybody deserves success, you do. You've worked so hard for this organization, and I am very grateful, and I know many other people are too. Any final thoughts?
I just want to reiterate that Moderation Management is not something which is someone else's vision, or it's not something which exists for other people. Moderation Management exists for each individual participant in the program. Every member has as much right to claim their place in Moderation Management as any of us. Moderation Management exists for the benefit of its members, and its members are what makes Moderation Management important. And we can't forget that we're building something for people to use, not for our own benefit, not for the benefit of MM's administration. It is the membership of MM that continually refreshes it, keeps it new, and also provides the richness and depth of support which we can offer to other people. It is only through the support of members helping members that we can help anybody. All we can do is set a framework in place for that interaction to happen.
All right. This wraps up the interview with Kurt S. for MM, and thanks for tuning in. Thank you. Bye-bye.